And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
Dan, welcome back.
Yes, it's great to be back.
You were gone last week. I assumed you were just playing Halo 4.
No, I have purchased Halo 4. I have yet to play it.
So you were, where were you?
I was in Las Vegas in a hockey tournament.
Nice.
Yes, our team won, but I lost my voice.
Congratulations. And
yes.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that.
So let's get right into
Let's get right into it. This week, in case you missed it, AzureConf was happening right here on Channel 9.
Right. Scott Guthrie had the keynote. Mm-hmm. Friend of the show and fellow New Orleans Shark respecter, Rick Garibay, who you may remember from back in the day. Rick was actually giving a talk as well.
Okay. No, I don't. Oh, yes, I do remember Rick.
Yes, right, of course.
I had to jog my memory and see what you were thinking about.
And there's plenty of other sessions. There's some on Node.js.
Okay.
All sorts of different cool topics that I think we would be interested in.
And as we film, these are magic foldering and getting put out to Channel 9 right now. So by the time people watch this, they should all be online, I would expect.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Awesome. Good stuff. So next up, we also have the latest release of the Office Developer Tool. So this is the Napa developer tool.
Yeah, so the code name is Napa, and it's basically our set of tools for building apps for Office as well as apps for SharePoint.
Okay.
So on the Office side, this is the ability for you, for example, to, if you take a look at that picture there where there's the election tracker, you can actually have apps inside of Excel,
mm-hmm.
and those apps can be pulling data from JSON. And say, you know, building a mapping service based on polling data for the election, which I thought was a cool app. And there's plenty more that you can definitely do here as well, right? So the idea of the app model is HTML, JSON. They've added ways to do OAuth, so you can do things like imagine having a spreadsheet for Facebook or whatever it happens to be, or any OAuth provider like a Twitter historical data kind of app. And then also on the SharePoint side, so like, hey, I want to create a new wizard that says goes through a process, mm-hmm. you can build that end-to-end with their new API. So definitely a lot of stuff, and they have a contest going on now, so check it out more at dev.office.com.
Okay, so do I have it right that it's not only Napa, which is the kind of in-browser developer tools, but there's an also update to the SDK that plugs into Visual Studio as well?
Yes,
so both
yes.
sides. Okay.
Project templates, a bunch of other stuff as well.
Fantastic. So a lot of you are probably thinking about submitting apps to the Windows Store. And before you do, you'll probably want to think about some of these important pre-submission checks. So obviously, it's not an instant approval or rejection, so you want to really make sure you do your due diligence up front.
And of course, this is Pete Brown, friend of the show.
Pete Brown, of course.
That goes through a number of the different steps. And this is everything from, hey, have you tested on different resolutions?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tested on different states? So when my app is snapped, portrait, filled, or full, making sure that you're checking for those. Checking your application on ARM, like, hey, you may need to not load as many things on the list view so it doesn't take so long, or to do more virtualization as well. Other stuff that certainly the build app had this problem where the store logo hadn't changed and it was the default flame,
yes.
Yeah, fail.
Yep.
Privacy policy is another classic one that we've talked about before. So if you're submitting apps, definitely a must read.
Absolutely. So next up, a few of you may have downloaded and checked out the CTP of Visual Studio 2012 Update 1. And in that update, there's a lot of new features for doing things like SharePoint development, load testing, unit testing, that sort of thing.
What are traits?
So traits are a capability of unit tests that allow you to basically tag your unit tests and say, this is a test that I maybe only want to run on x64 machines, or maybe this is a test that I want to run as part of my build verification test, but I don't want to run them every single time I run my unit test locally. And so in this article, one of our MVPs, I've known him for a long time, I still can't pronounce his name, Terje Sandstrom, I think.
Sure.
He writes a great post talking about how to manage those unit test traits in the Unit Test Explorer. So for those of you that are coming from Visual Studio 2010 or a prior release into Visual Studio 2012, you may have noticed that we really changed up the way that the test interfaces work within 2012. And What that means is that a lot of the windows you used to have, like the test list view, they're simply no longer there by default. And so the way that you manage those tests is a little bit different. And I think in RTM, we changed things so much that we did have to take away some of the features that people were used to, like the ability to easily reorganize your tests based on these categories. But now that traits are back into Test Explorer with Update 1, this shows you how to make more efficient use of those. And Terahay has some great articles coming out about how to use these on your build server, for instance, and so even more to come.
Cool. So this next article is by Broilo Diaz, and I hope I'm getting his name right, but it's really all about you're building a Windows Store app for Windows 8, and what can you use the expression blend tools for?
Blendability.
So this is one you don't want to, for people that can do drag and drop design of blend controls. Two, being able to set up data binding without actually having to write any code, and you get the nice drop downs when you have a data source. Three, being able to use sample data. So like when I'm in design time, I can actually see what sample data would be. And again, it's a series of videos that go through these things where it's like, wow, this would be great so that I don't just have an empty grid.
Right.
I can see exactly what sample data would look like and then adjust visually as I'm going. And obviously a lot of people like just start off with doing design and then go into the XAML to sort of take it to the next level.
Yeah, so that's right. I mean, I think you and guys like you and I, we're used to like trusting the code a little bit more, and like we're not really sure what happens with these blend tools. But now that blend is actually part of Visual Studio, all the tools are right there. So I like this approach to showing you some ways that you can start easing yourself into becoming familiar with those tools in a way that really works for you.
Yeah, so definitely cool stuff.
So this is an article by John Robbins over at Wintellect, and he talks about how he just loves IntelliTrace. And so he has been using IntelliTrace for a long, long time. I think he was one of the very first people I remember seeing in the community writing about what a revelation it was for him. And he talks about a few ways that you might want to think about using IntelliTrace to debug your applications. He talks about how it saves him at least 10 to 20% of his time when he's debugging code. And of course, debugging code is a huge part of the time that we're spending building applications. And he really makes the justification for the cost of the Visual Studio Ultimate license. So I thought this was a really good article.
And how much do you pay him to say these wonderful things about IntelliTrace?
I don't think I've ever even had a conversation with John Robbins.
Oh, really?
I love
Wintellect.
I know a few of the guys over there, but I don't think I've ever even talked to him.
Okay. John is their debugging guy.
Yeah.
Guru.
Yep. Exactly.
He's pretty great there. Brandon Bray.
Brandon Bray, friend of the show. So you might remember that at the Build conference, we announced that .NET Framework 4.5 was available for use in Windows Azure. And so Brandon goes through, along with Scott Hunter, and they basically do a roll-up of some of the best ways that you can start taking advantage of .NET 4.5 on the Windows Azure platform, taking advantage of things like async, and just really talking about how .NET 4.5 plus cloud apps equals awesome.
Yeah, and it's all about using that async programming model. Mm-hmm. So definitely some cool stuff there.
And also, if you haven't read it yet, there's an excellent article in this same series that talks about how the Bing team moved from .NET 4 over to .NET 4.5, and they saw just market improvement in the garbage collection times.
We've talked about some of those garbage collection articles, but just moving over frameworks, instant performance.
Instant performance, and as far as I know, when Bing did it, they didn't have to make any changes to their code, so it's designed to be an in-place upgrade and should be all compatible with your existing apps.
Yeah.
No-brainer. So, speaking of build.
Yes. John David Dalton and a friend of the show, Amanda Silver.
Yes.
Love her high-performing JavaScript for Modern Engines talk.
Yeah, this was a really great talk from Build for anybody that's doing anything with JavaScript, whether you're writing Windows Store applications with JavaScript or whether you're just building web applications with JavaScript. What Amanda and John David did is they went through and did a case analysis by looking at an existing set of applications and looking at the bottlenecks that you might encounter as you're building up those applications. And they talk about various techniques that you could take advantage of within the way that you build those JavaScript applications so that they can be even faster. They showed you some things that are specific to certain browsers, and don't ask me to remember them off the top of my head. I'm not a JavaScript guy, but just very, very, very pragmatic guidance for anybody that wants to eke the last bit of performance out of your JavaScript applications.
Yeah, love it. Really good content, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
Another video that just recently launched Charles interviewed Martin Lovell and Elliot H. Omea, or Ehome, as he's sometimes called. So these are the guys that really understand the Windows runtime and really talk about kind of the high level. Why does the Windows runtime exist? What is the Windows runtime? You know, where exactly do they draw the line? How, and their goals and design goals when they came into this, having a safe application execution environment, mm-hmm. having the ability to do really support multiple programming languages through the projections, and the ability to have something that works for both .NET programmers, JavaScript programmers, and C++ programmers in a natural way, mm-hmm. and even have the extensibility points such that other languages could be supported in the future. Mm. So,
J#. Do they tip any hands?
They specifically, actually, they had a J# doll and they punched it in the face. That was actually...
Oh, ouch. That is really,
I just kept
harsh,
rewinding
man.
That part.
Moving
no, so
right
they
along.
Did, so, but lots of good stuff. Like, you really want to understand the high level Windows runtime, and Charles has a bunch more of these coming to get a deep dive into Windows runtime.
Excellent. I love those deep dive series. So what's this all about? OpenGL for WinRT, cats and dogs living together?
Yeah, so the idea is for people that have GL2D, OpenGL to DirectX, you can be able to use this, and it's not everything for OpenGL. So it is a small subset of it. It is available in a very friendly MIT license. But if, for example, you have applications that are, say, on iOS or whatever, you're building OpenGL applications, this basically does a mapping of your calls to DirectX, so that way you can reuse things that you're used to in your code could actually be reused in DX. You add a reference, the calls don't change, and everything hopefully just works. So it does include the way to basically convert your function calls into DX equivalent and so on.
Okay, excellent. Cool. So that brings us to, of course, picks of the week. So my
picks pick of the week.
My pick of the week is an article by Jan Mikvosky. I'm sure I botched his name, but Jan basically goes through and he makes the case for designing by actually building your application and iterating on the application itself. And so we've talked a lot about storyboarding as a technique. We've talked a lot about rapid prototyping of your applications. And he makes the case for building your applications just like you would move furniture within your house. Like, you're not going to spend the time to like make a model and what if we put the sofa over there. Like, it's just most of the time just easier to pick up the couch, move it to where you want to be.
How does that
sit down,
look?
Look
how does my feng shui?
Exactly. Feng shui. Sure. I'm a big believer in feng shui, actually. Yeah.
Big believer. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I like this article because sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming, especially since, you know, we've probably covered a dozen already design handbooks and design resources for building your Windows 8 application. Sometimes you just need to get in there and do it and see how it feels.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And iterate. My pick of the week is actually from Microsoft Research. So the folks at Research have built something called Connected Browser. And really what it does is it's an ActiveX plugin. You do need to have the Connect for Windows driver installed. And that browser plugin is IE specific. But what it does is exposes the ability to get Connect data via JavaScript. So there's a JavaScript library for typical things that you would normally do in the Connect SDK. So I can have skeleton points, I can have depth data, and you can see in the image you can actually do things like hit test on a web page in that corner there and actually have a button with your mouse as, say, the cursor and all the skeletal joints as well. So basically adding the ability to get Connect data into your browser.
And so in order to do this, the web page itself would have to be looking for the Connect, right? It's not like you're just applying this to any, you know, Amazon.com website, right?
Yeah, so to be able to use it, yes, because I don't think they've done the cursor, but I mean, there's probably other stuff that you could do within there.
Got it.
Really, it's just enabling, like, if you want to build a custom page or do something unique, that person would probably have to build that out.
Got it. By the way, have you tried IE on the Xbox yet?
Yes, I have.
It's great. It's really great. And I was impressed also when
Channel 9 works on it.
Channel 9 works great on it. And when I hooked it up to my smart glass on my Windows phone, I'm just sitting there on the couch browsing around. I had some company this last week and we were watching some videos. And so it was just really, really easy to use. So nice job to the Xbox team. It's really good.
Yeah, really awesome stuff. Love smart glass.
Yeah. And so
check out the Intro to Smart Glass session.
From
also, available at Build.
Oh, that's right.
Boom.
That's another one.
Another plug.
We should highlight that next time.
Yes.
And we will be off the air next week here in the United States. It's Thanksgiving. So for those of you that are having Thanksgiving, we hope you have a great week. And for the rest of you, we'll see you back here in 2 weeks. So we will see you then.
Thanks.